高らかに空気空気両手につかんで咲き誇れ美しい人よ、そのままペースアップして In this room sensation 大胆なモーションに終始して Face to face
Hello, you're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So, Chris, how was the last 2 weeks?
Doing pretty good.
Good? That's awesome. I had a mental breakdown last week.
Well, kind of understandable.
Thank you, YouTube. Thank you, YouTube, and not recognizing fair use as usual. Keep it up. Keep it up. No, it's, it was sad because it was literally, I didn't know about it until the next day, but yeah, we got a copyright strike on our YouTube channel for using a screenshot. It's always good. Always fun to know that. So yeah, I had to reevaluate everything last week and had to think a lot because that was heavy on my mind, but, I think I got everything sorted out at this point. I think I pretty much posed a question to everybody on the YouTube channel. Like, I put a poll up and I was like, hey, do you guys even care that there's screenshots in the videos? Because I don't know that I can continue doing this. So, and most of everybody was like, yeah, just we don't care. Just, we want to hear your voice. We want to hear what you have to say about things. And I'm like, oh, shucks. You don't click on my videos just to get a little a slideshow. Oh, that makes sense. But now it's kind of like, it sucks because my mentality is like, well, I understand the idea of like, you just watched the episode. Why would you need screenshots in my impressions video for it? You've already seen the show. I hope you've watched the show. But at the same time, for like reviews and first impressions, I'm like, I kind of need something because people want to know what the show looks like. So I've kind of decided to do like a panning screenshots here and there in the videos at least, and hopefully that aspect of them being cropped and panning shots, that it won't be picked up by the algorithm. But I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, all my like episode by episode impressions, I'll be doing like nothing, just to kind of avoid it, because it always seems like it's always the later episodes that I start getting strikes or at least copyright claims. So maybe it's I know that some companies have like serious issues with spoilers and stuff, and it's like, well, it's an impression video, so they've watched the episode, so it's not like I'm spoiling anything. So I don't know. It sucks. Like I said, as usual, YouTube pretty much just taking the side of the copyright holder and not really even looking into the thing. Like I said, it was literally a strike. There was no questions, no conversation, just boom, strike. It's like, wow, it's cool to know. That's cool to know that a company can literally say, you know, you're using my stuff and just strike you down if they want to. I mean, granted, I don't see, you know, a Japan TV studio, which was what it was, going over here and going, this guy's talking bad about our show. Strike. It's more of a thing of the algorithm picks it up, and they can sometimes set it to where it just immediately strikes you. And it's like, that's just, most of the companies like Aniplex, I've gotten claims from them. What was the other one? Ponycan with, I believe, Odd Taxi. Aniplex with Vanitas, most all of them, they're like, and even technically with Sony Music Japan, they technically just claimed at first, and it was me counterclaiming that it was fair use that they gave me the strike. So I thought that I could just get away with just, if they copyright claim it, I'll just take it down. But now I know that it's literally, they can just strike immediately. And that's what sucks. So, because I'm trying to make this a thing, and so I can't really have my livelihood just getting destroyed, but it is what it is. I did put it that I was going to start streaming on Twitch for our live streams, but I went there for a few days, did some Tales of Horizon stuff, and I don't know, I decided that I was going to go back to YouTube. As much as I want to put my eggs in multiple baskets, I just don't, I like to be on YouTube because that's where everybody that, what you know, listens and watches us is already at, so I just feel like I'm not really in a, I guess, with my people. I'm not with our community when I'm over there on Twitch, so I decided to jump back on there yesterday and set up this podcast, and we'll probably be there again, so I don't know. It's probably not for a good thing to be on YouTube for both live streaming and for our videos, but like I said, I just, being with the people that, you know, comment on our videos on a regular basis and has been with us for a while is more important to me, so we'll see how it goes. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe YouTube will improve their live streaming platform, and since they got like a whole bunch of money they just spent on the platform to get live streamers over here. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But yeah, that's the conundrum. That was my whole last week, was dealing with that and some other things. So it's getting there.
We'll see. I'm hoping that I'll have some fun on the stream today. So we'll see.
So that brings me to probably one of the more exciting things regarding our live streaming thing. I am planning, I'm not sure if it'll be Wednesday evening, so the 22nd, or Thursday the 23rd. I'm planning, I'll put up a planned scheduled live stream. But I told some of the people yesterday, I'm like, you know, I'm not really for jumping on bandwagons, and technically it's a ship that sailed a long time ago. People still do it, but I want to do a tier list. I for some reason randomly ran into a 800 plus waifu tier list, and I'm like, that sounds like a challenge. So I think I'm going to do that. I'm trying to see if our network is good. I think Chris is ended up going to be the test bed today to make sure that it's still good. But we had a lot of problems last night with some upload hiccups. But I definitely want to do that, and I think that'll be a lot of fun. So people can see how. I was scared because I scrolled through it, and I literally am like, I think I recognize every single one of these characters, and that's kind of scary.
I was actually going to...
There was so many Golden Boy, too. Somebody whoever made this loves Golden Boy.
I was going to throw a suggestion out last week. I had bumped into a video of somebody who did, like, I want to say it was like 50 questions or something like that of how much of an otaku are you, and I was like... This would be so much fun to see how Andy does, because I only missed like three or four questions, and they're questions that I knew for a fact that you would miss them as well.
Yeah, there's obscure stuff there.
Well, no, it wasn't obscure. It was JoJo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. And then it pops up. It's a JoJo. Oh, okay. I get why I don't know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't get a perfect 50 score, which is what they consider a hardcore otaku or something like that. But I got right there at really.
And I bet there was zero questions about cute girls doing cute things.
No, actually, there was.
Oh, there was. Wow.
It was
just K-On.
It was just K-On. No, it was a surprisingly well-rounded questioner, and the, like I said, the only ones that. I don't think we would know is, I think there was not a fist of the North Star, something, one of the offshoots of that. And so it was like, I did technically miss that too, but I put that kind of more in the same realm as JoJo. So
yeah. Yeah.
But even the ones that we technically quote unquote don't know, you would still have a very high, amount of, just like I said, the JoJo, when some of
public
them,
knowledge.
You would know them just in the general consensus of having the reference to it, but not necessarily the actual knowledge of it.
Well, that's kind of like the waifu tier list. Is like I there was several of them on there. I'm like, I don't even know who this character is, but I know it's from One Piece. Yeah. It's like, it's just an art style. You just know, and technically you've seen their pictures here and there, so you know where they're from. So, But yeah, I think I got
a One Piece question right just based on the idea of technically I know who that is. So
you know who Luffy is? Yes, I know it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. But yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I've been kind of contemplating different ideas of things to do besides just doing video game playing while talking to people. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So, and everybody in chat seemed to be excited for it. So
I got a kick out of your reacting to your video.
Andrew reacting to Andrew. Somebody had a question about my favorite of the season, and I'm like, or the most excited for next season. I'm like, well, I have a video for it. Let me bring it up here. But yeah, one of those shows in my excited list dropped off here recently. Lost Child. Yeah. I got a huge kick out of that. I'm like going from this is a mysterious show to, oh, it's Kirito. Okay, never mind. I'm not that I hate it or anything because of that. It's just, yeah, it just brought the excitement down a little bit. So no longer mysterious. Maybe I should have just not looked at anything of it, but it popped up on my Twitter feed, so I had to see it. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, like I said, look forward to that. I'm trying to keep a schedule of, you know, streaming every evening for pretty much every day. Saturday is kind of like an up in the air. I'll do that or not, but usually during the week. So hopefully people can join us for that.
That's depending on how things work
evening
out.
U.S. time, by the way.
I do really want to stream on Thursday, but it just things are not working out to be able to do that. And I'm always keeping that open as an option. I'd like to do that.
Yeah. There you go. So, yeah, with that said, that's pretty much been what's going on. And, I've been playing Tales of Arise, but that's... I might have to move my playthrough from Twitch over, and I might edit it so it's a lot more, I guess, digestible. Not just a long stream and have to upload 3.5 hours. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So, the news that should be important to us should be important to you because it's important to us that's important to you. Our first bit we have is a free advertising plug for something for Arise stuff. Not sponsored, by the way. Just want to give a shout out to people to let them know. But apparently, Right Stuff and Tokyopop is doing trying to do a reprint of Aria the Masterpiece. And this is a manga set of 7 volumes that they are trying to get enough pre-orders for it to do a reprint. They're, of course, saying that, you know, this will probably be the final run and that future printing of it will be highly unlikely. The actual quote is this reprints. Our future printings of this series are unlikely. I don't want to say highly unlikely and that it not be highly unlikely, but actually unlikely. But yeah, so what they're trying to shoot for is at least 900 pre-orders for each volume. They do have a bundle set up there that you can just do the whole thing. And I think they're like at 55% or so right now. And once they get that pre-order amount, they will, I guess, do it. So, but they can't do it before then. I think it's like 130 or something like that, so it's a little, it's a tad bit pricey, but that's 7 volumes.
Not,
so
yeah, that's not bad at all.
It's about 20 per, so I was kind of expecting them to be hardbound because they are $20. Typically, hardbound mangas are that, but I think they are foil, so that is a nice cover on it, not just a cheapo paper cover, so yeah, $135.99 on Right Stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a little bit better if it was a little lower, but that's not a bad price. It really isn't.
Yeah, it's about retail. So I want it, but I just don't have the disposable for it. So I'm going to probably pass on it. I don't know. It bites, but I did want to at least do my part, but at least letting people know about it. Because I know there's a lot of Aria fans that listen to us a lot. Oh my gosh, you remember when we didn't watch Aria? How many times we got people telling us to watch Aria? So for all those people that kept bugging us every single day to watch Aria back in the day, there you go. Do it now.
I think that was
it's more a FOMA. Because, it's a FOMA.
I think that's more because it was in our realm of things that we would like, and everybody was like, well, how do you like cute girls doing cute things and you've not watched this show?
Yeah, Yashike.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you go. check that out. If that's interesting to you, definitely don't want to miss out on that. It's like I said, FOMA. So you don't want to miss FOMA. Anywho, moving on. We have Duke of Death and His Maid has been confirmed to getting a sequel adaptation. So for those fans that have been watching Duke of Death, it's technically completed. Solid show. I really enjoyed it. So I'm kind of happy that it's getting a sequel. I think it's got a bad rap just because they're using that high score girl type CGI animation, but it's got a lot of heart in there, and I think that people should check it out. So if you haven't already, I'll be recording my review of that, I think, tomorrow. So that'll be an interesting one to talk about when I get around to it. It kind of revealed a lot of stuff towards the later parts of it, so I am actually happy that it's getting a sequel, because I think if it didn't get a sequel, I'd be pretty upset about certain things being revealed towards the later part that they kind of put in there. So, unlike
just left Spirit them hanging.
Unlike Spirit Chronicles, we're still waiting for that sequel mention for Spirit Chronicles. Otherwise, that's going to get a little bit of a slapping. So yeah, really cute. Definitely check that one out if you like the. I don't know. I initially was calling it basically teasing girl series. I think it is still technically in that realm, because that's pretty much a lot of the shtick of Alice is doing a lot of teasing of him. But at the same time, like I said, it's got a lot of more, I guess, supernatural elements and stuff and witches and stuff that it's diving into that are kind of interesting as well. Plus the butler is the same voice as the psychopath in Ajin, which kind of helps too. A lot of fun. Another sequel getting that got announced was Shadow House. That's pretty exciting. I really love Shadow House, and I know that when we were watching it and I was really excited about it, a lot of people were going, it sucks because I've read the source material and I don't think it's getting a sequel because they skip certain things that are a lead into the next story arc. And apparently that seems to be the case for the creator as well, because when they announced that the Shadow House was getting a sequel, the actual original source material writer, who was actually a part of, was a what do they call it, supervising the scripts, script supervisor. The actual creator was a script supervisor for the first season adaptation, and they were working on that project with the adaptation with the mindset that they were only going to get one core. So they wrote certain things out of the script purposely because they thought it was only going to get a single core, which I actually respect. I like when a writer doesn't try to throw in, or when they know something is just an advertisement, a single season, they don't throw in that extra stuff that you're not going to understand because they never get into it. But it comes a problem when they actually go, oh, hey, let's do a second season. They're like, wait. And so the writer was literally like, I didn't know it was happening. So we'll figure it out. Like, they're going to, you know, basically fit things in so that it does technically still make sense as we go in the second core. So I know a lot of people are talking about this cloaked person that I think even in the tweet from the writer was talking about this cloaked person, and they're going to figure it out so they can get things going forward. So I'm excited because that was a fantastic show. I'm definitely looking forward to more of it. Agreed.
I'm definitely excited about it. I don't know. That would be a difficult thing to try and see if you can fix. When you do write something out, you have to do almost a backlog of the scenes that quote unquote character should be in. So it'd be really difficult to see if they can figure that out somehow.
Well, I don't know the details of what was pulled out, so I'm not sure one way or another. But they wrote the story, so I'm sure they can change things around. I don't necessarily think that, like, if there was this cloaked person, I'm just making an assumption here is based on the fact that it was removed and they're saying something about a cloaked person. If there was a cloaked person that showed up, let's say, in the sixth episode to talk to a certain character and that was removed because they didn't think they were going to have a second season, they don't necessarily have to go, oh, by the way, go back in time and, oh, yeah, it actually happened. They can easily just have the person show up at this point, this current time, and say this needs to be done and then move on. It won't match to the source material. It's fine. It already doesn't match the source material because it's not there. So you might as well change it. So, and that's what I kind of expect. But either way, really exciting. Super excited for it. Love Shadow House. If you haven't watched the first season, definitely go watch it. and be excited for the second season. I don't think they have a date or anything yet. I'm assuming probably spring next year, if anything, but it's cool stuff. We'll see. We'll see. Let's see. I might want to talk up. No, we can talk about that now. High Dive is set to leave VRV streaming service on September 30th. So if you are currently watching High Dive channel through VRV, expect that it will be leaving their platform soon. Obviously, this is probably due to the fact that Crunchyroll was bought by Sony, and Sony probably does not want to continue doing any kind of, you know, partnership with High Dive going forward, because competition, and Sony doesn't like competition. Again, assumption here. But yeah, I kind of posed to a lot of people the question of, like, because I made a video on this and I was questioning, like, at this point, what's the point of VRV? I think a lot of people's mindset is equal to my own, which I think this is just a sign that they're going to probably shut down VRV. It's odd that VRV was even included in the buyout with Crunchyroll to begin with, just because they were both technically under the brand of Elation, but it seems like they put VRV under the brand of Crunchyroll and then sold them together. So I don't think that Sony is going to keep it. I can see them using VRV as kind of a bridge platform to put both Crunchyroll and Funimation on, just because technically with VRV's platform, it is kind of like Amazon, where you can buy channels. And so it's not just one subscription for everything. You can buy a channel with Crunchyroll, buy a channel with High Dive. So I can see them using it as a way of having everything in one place. But still, even then, I don't know. I think at this point, by the end of the year, I think they'll just shut down VRV altogether. I mean, because they do technically still have like a few more channels on there, like Rooster Teeth's on there. There's like two other ones that I really don't even know what they are. I don't see them being enough to hold an entire platform for. If anything, I could see like Rooster Teeth stuff and everything going to Crunchyroll.
Wasn't the drama channels on there?
I think.
I know that Crunchyroll used to have a J-drama separate. It was separate, but it was technically under the same wing, so.
It's probably VRV.
Yeah, it just seems like it's been odd that I haven't seen anything on that, because usually once in a while it would pop up on Crunchyroll. I think there's a couple of shows that have popped up recently, but it's been a while since I had seen them.
Yeah. I don't know. It does bite, because I know that a lot of people, especially including myself, for a while there, when I was watching a lot of my stuff primarily on Apple TV, the reason why I ended up using VRV to watch High Dive stuff was because, unfortunately, at the time, which this was like 2018, it was about the time they were, was it Doreiku? It was a show about this like thing that people put in their mouth, and it makes them, once they have a competition with somebody, whoever loses is forced to have to listen to the other person. And obviously, having something like that, it went into some very difficult subject matter. And I think it was during when that was airing that I was trying to watch High Dive on my Apple TV. And then eventually the episodes weren't available. And they cited the fact that they were obviously being told by Apple that they can't have that content on there. Their app was even removed for a period of time before they removed that content and got it back up on Apple platform. And it really annoyed me at the time, because I'm like, yeah, but if I go over here to Crunchyroll's app, I can fire up my wife as the student council president, and they literally have pretty much close to H scenes. And it's like, well, why is this allowed on Crunchyroll, but this isn't allowed on High Dive? And it's that difficulty there. And I'm like, I always kind of was frustrated with it. And I thought that when High Dive and Crunchyroll started having a partnership, I'm like, cool, maybe Crunchyroll can like help them figure out who to stuff money in their pockets in order to get their stuff allowed, because obviously Crunchyroll's doing something, Funimation's doing something that allows them to be on the Apple platform with the content that they have, which is technically worse than what High Dive has. You know, who do they need to talk to here? So, I don't know. It kind of sucks in that regard, because I mean, granted, now most of the stuff I watch is on my PC because I had to get screenshots. Well, obviously, I don't really technically have to do now, so I could probably start using my Apple TV more now again going forward. But it does beg the question of, like, what does this mean for just their content being on a at least the Apple platform without issues. And I think they're going to start running into issues again, unfortunately. But such is Apple. I think anybody else is like, I don't care. I don't use Apple. So I don't care what's on it. But it is an interesting question to pose anyway, either way. But like I said, this is technically a sign that, unfortunately... Now, don't get me wrong. This could just be because the buyout happened, they let the current structure of their agreement expire, and then they can possibly do something in the future. And granted, technically, Sentai Filmworks items / HiDive items are still on Crunchyroll platform. It's just their whole platform itself is no longer on VRV. So it is technically a sign that we could possibly see stuff dropping off of Crunchyroll, which is unfortunate. But it could also be a thing where it's still going to remain on Crunchyroll. It's just they're pulling it off of VRV because they're going to close it down. So it's a multiple facet of what this could mean in the future for the platform, VRV, and HiDive itself. So to surprise of nobody, Fairy Tail's getting more adaptations. Are they still using the same director? He's like, I thought I was done with Fairy Tail, and then they pulled me back in. But yeah, apparently the Fairy Tail 100 Years Quest series is getting an anime adaptation. Apparently it is a sequel manga series, which I was not aware of, so apparently that's still going. So yeah, be excited if you're a fan of Fairy Tail. It will continue on. I can delay my desire to finish the series knowing that it's still going on.
I wonder if, did he write that, or do you know?
I don't know. I assume so.
Or if that, is that a, I obviously it's a spinoff. That's pretty much what you just said.
I didn't say that it was a spinoff.
Well,
I said that it was a sequel manga series.
I understand, but.
Sequel just, I'm just saying sequel does not typically insinuate that it's a spinoff. It means that it's a sequel. Yeah. Prequels, Fairy Tail. It is written by Hiro Mashima. So yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Probably different artist. Yeah. Ueda Atsuo. I don't know if that's the same artist. No, it's a different artist. Did something unfortunate happen to the previous artist? Or did he do the art for that one? Okay, so he just stopped being the artist for it, and somebody else took over for the next part of it. So it's basically somebody's adapting his story to a new manga going forward, which, again, is no surprise to anybody because something is lucrative. You're not going to let it die. And these things never end anymore. It's just milk it as long as possible. Manga has become the new Hollywood. So there you go. Cool stuff. I can now officially know what characters are still alive because I see all his artwork. I'm kidding. Nobody expected these characters to actually have anything wrong with them. So there you go. Yeah, fans of Fairy Tail, it will continue on, and Andrew will continue to delay actually putting up the latest Fairy Cast that he hasn't put up yet. I'm going to get to it, probably after this season's reviews and first impressions get over, because it's going to be a crazy next few weeks. Absolutely crazy. I already have like 5 things right now on my docket to record for reviews. It's insane. Anyway, sorry, I'm complaining. Magic of Stella. for those fans of Magic of Stella, the manga is ending in 3 chapters. So if you are keeping track of the manga, which I unfortunately did not, I did really enjoy the anime adaptation. I thought it was fantastic. It is kind of one of those ones, if I had time, I probably would have jumped into the manga right afterwards. But 3 chapters, it's ending. To a shock to nobody, China apparently has designated that online boys love games are banned. So apparently this is a report that the Chinese Communist Party Central Public Relations Department has instructed online game companies to prohibit boys love content from their, I guess, libraries. Citing content that contains false values or illicit materials. Chinese officials have designated content with boy loves as effeminate men as inferior culture and are demanding its unequivocal banning. So, yeah, the department has warned that the companies do not comply, they'll be severely punished. So apparently no Felix from ReZero. But yeah, like I said, it's obviously a surprise to nobody, but it is pretty, I don't know. It's unfortunate, but like I said, it's not really technically a surprise, being that China is the way that it is, that things like that are not going to be allowed. Says the regulator's concern is that Chinese pop stars who look and act effeminate are encouraging China's young men to be, are not encouraging them to be masculine. So I don't know. I think that I probably shouldn't say this, but like, don't you think they technically would want them to be, because then they won't question them. Very, I don't know. Like I said, it's not surprising, but at the same time, it's unfortunate. I don't think it's a good thing at all, but it's technically how it is. But yeah. So, sorry, China. No more Felix. It's too feminine. It is technically talking about games, but I'm sure that probably is going to leak over to other things as well. All right, moving on, we have My Next Life as a Villainess apparently is getting a movie adaptation. So, fans of My Next Life as a Villainess, All Routes Lead to Doom, be excited for more content coming down the line. I don't know how difficult it will be for us to get this. I'm assuming it will probably get a theatrical release over here, because I think Funimation has it on their site as well. I know it's on Crunchyroll. So, I would assume it probably... No, technically, with them both being together now at this point, it's probably going to be a thing where they will pick it up and Funimation will do a theatrical release with their connections. Because I don't think we really have had anything from Crunchyroll getting theatrical releases. They usually, movies that they get, they usually just throw it up. So
yeah, it seems like they should have maybe one or two things left to pretty much explore. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with that.
Yeah.
It's not unpredictable where they're going to be going with it, so, but it'll be interesting, like I said.
Yep. Apparently the whole thing with Hufuitable and their issues with tax evasion is finally coming to a head. I think we talked about this a couple times in the past, that there was accusations being thrown towards Hufuitable for evading taxes, and apparently it is finally going to court. And during the preliminary hearings held by the Tokyo District Court, the founder, Hikaru Kondo, has apparently admitted to the charge of failing to pay 138 million yen in taxes, and has apologized, stating that he thought that the tax evasions would not bring trouble to the studio. Not sure why you would think that, but probably that he didn't think he was going to get caught. That usually means I didn't think I'd get caught. Or at least that I guess there's a side that he could have believed that if he did it and somebody found out, that he would be the only one being punished for it. I guess that could be what he was saying there, but there you have it. Prosecution states that Hufuitable and Kondo hid a part of income from cafes and merchandising across a span of 3 years to buffet against downturns in business, and alleged about 441 million yen in income. So it sucks, because it's one of those aspects of, you know, something that a company that does a lot of good things kind of being possibly harmed. I hope not too much by the mistakes of somebody high up, which, yeah, you can make an argument that the reason why they were successful as long as they have been and done the quality they have done is because they were avoiding taxes. But it still sucks, because there's a lot more people involved in the Hufuitable than just... And it could just be more than Kondo, but as it's kind of laying out, it seems like they're trying to put all the blame on Kondo. I know that he's already kind of stepped away from it, so he could be just trying to make himself the fall guy, even though there's more people involved, but it still sucks. It still sucks in the end. Hopefully it doesn't bring too much harm to Hufuitable, just because they've created a lot of really cool things, so... But we'll see. It does beg the question of, like, how profitable they are, that they would need something like this, because, I mean, a lot of really big mobile games come to them for their high quality of stuff. But, I don't know. They could just be looking for more profits in the end. We don't know. But there you go. Seven Seas has announced new licenses for release. They have announced that they have licensed It's a Little Hard to Be a Villainous of an Atomic Game in Modern Society light novel series, as well as Magic Artisan Dahlia Wilts No More, Wicked Trapper Hunter of Heroes, as well as X-Gender manga. So the second one's a mouthful. Oh, it was two different titles. One was Wicked Trapper Hunter of Heroes, and the other one was the Magic Artisan Dahlia Wilts No More. So there you go. More stuff from Seven Seas. For Jade Novel, they have licensed five new titles, actually, sorry. One is Goodbye Other World, See You Tomorrow. They have Private Tutor to Be Duke's Daughter, Endo and Kobayashi Live, the latest of on Tsundere Villainous Lislot? Full Clear, Another World Under a Goddess with Zero Believers light novel. And finally, Full Clear, Another World Under a Goddess with Zero Believers manga. So, both the light novel and the manga of that series.
A lot of these look like they can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I have to read the Tsundere one. Endo and Kobayashi Live, the latest on Tsundere Villainous Lislet. This one is One Day, Crown Prince Siege. Here's the voice of the gods out of the blue. Apparently, his fiance Lislet is a Tsundere villainous. Destined to be, what is it? Villainous, destined to meet her demise, and her sharp tongue is just a way of covering up her embarrassment. The prince can hardly contain himself after discovering Lislet's adorable hidden side. Little does he know the heavenly beings that bestowed this knowledge upon him are actually high schoolers. What? So I'm guessing he's in an Atome game. And the villainess is actually Tsundere, and the players of the Atomy game are trying to help him out.
That's what it kind of sounds like to me. That sounds goofy. It
says, can he use his divine prophecy? Let's play commentary. It basically says it right there. It's let's play commentary to save the betrothed and avoid a bad end. So it's like basically the side of the male characters in My Next Life as a Villainess. Interesting. Very interesting.
That absolutely sounds too fun.
See here, Netflix has established an anime creators base in a Tokyo office in Japan. So, apparently the anime creator base is this great new facility they spent a lot of money on to bring creators in so they could talk about future projects. Which they technically already had a Tokyo place, but they want to make a nice fancy special looking place where people can chill on couches and stuff, because all tech companies like doing that these days. Not these days, always been that case, but yeah, it's basically a location where different designers, developers, script writers, artists and stuff can all essentially come to this one facility to kind of collaborate on ideas for future projects. So obviously Netflix is getting more and more into the game of anime over the last 5 or so years. This is going to basically be a location, a nice, comfortable location. They can bring people in and kind of shoot ideas at each other, throw stuff at the wall. And it, again, is kind of a continued sign of what's going forward, that Netflix is getting obviously more serious about anime and producing anime and getting more content for their platform. Which technically leads into our next subject, which is that Netflix is planning on streaming. They technically have, I think, 3 titles for the next season, for the fall season of 2021. But the surprising thing is that 2 of those titles, Blue Period and Komi Can't Communicate, will be doing weekly releases. It's big news, Chris.
Yeah.
It's finally happening, Chris. Finally.
I'm hoping to friggin' this out, so.
It's finally happened. Now, if only they can fix their issue where their sub cost is stupidly high compared to everybody else, that would be great. But at least we have a nice step in the right direction, and we're going to be getting weekly releases rather than waiting until either the end of the season or 3 months after the season has ended before we get a full dump of a show. But
you just don't understand how perfect their subscription fee is.
It's a very unperfect round number.
No, you're wrong. They know. They have figured it out. You did not.
Everybody else, Crunchyroll, Funimation, you guys are leaving money on the table, obviously. Like I said, I still believe that once Crunchyroll and Funimation merge, like, fully to one platform, it will be Netflix cost. I have zero doubt that they will make it Netflix cost. You're not going to get both that stuff in one service for $5. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. Well, I think it's $6.99, I think, is the highest one. Anyways, this is kind of, like I've mentioned before, this seems like a continued sign of where Netflix is going. Obviously, creating a anime creators base, cool, fluffy new building, somewhere to throw money at, that's fine. But it does kind of show the sign of this dedication. Like, this is a, whether you want to believe, like, this is just a stupid fancy place with a bunch of couches in it, is a side to the idea that this is a sign of something of a focus. This is something that they want to have to bring in creators and talk about ideas going forward. Kind of a central location that can bring people in. But not only that, but it's kind of hard to ignore that something pretty significant happened this year, and that a lot of different companies are now making different interesting moves. Netflix has been in this game for a long time, and for the last, I don't know, what, 3 or 4 or 5 years, it's been nothing but, you know, once or twice a year, they come out and say, here's all these titles we'll be full dumping on the network. Look forward to literally 5 shows showing up in March. They just get full dumped, and 5 shows showing up in this month and full dump, and that's it. This is a different move for them to not only have that as an option where they are producing anime, they are putting their money into these companies, but also they're now licensing shows to show on a weekly basis. And again, like I said, it's not really hard to draw a conclusion that, hey, something just recently happened and now suddenly Netflix is making their move. These other companies are making their move. We're talking about like Toei and all them doing their own streaming service. I think there's a lot of companies that are either not wanting to deal with Sony, or they're seeing an opportunity, an opening with Crunchyroll now becoming a part of Sony and Funimation. Agree?
Yeah, it's fascinating to see what the moves of all these big companies are doing. It's one of those things that you kind of wish you could see behind the scenes, what they're really watching for and what they're actually seriously considering as threats and stuff like that. It's one of those things that when you watch them from a basically from a down the stream, because they're obviously up the stream. They see what's coming down the road. They're massive corporations. They have feelers watching everything that's going on. And we're watching it from a outsider's perspective, trying to guess what it is that they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish with all these different things.
Proactive versus reactive.
Yeah. It's strange to see the different moves that these companies are making. Actually setting up a creator's base is a fascinating thing for Netflix to do. Not necessarily unrealistic that they're doing it. It makes a lot of sense that they're doing it. But they've never been one to, I mean, yes, they'll throw a whole bunch of money at a company and say, make whatever you want. So I'm not saying that. Making a creator's base is basically like setting up shop in the middle of Hollywood.
Tokyo ain't cheap.
Yeah.
Tokyo ain't cheap.
So it's a fascinating thing to see them doing this. Not necessarily that it's unrealistic that they're doing, just that it's fascinating that they're doing it, because it gives them a home base for these companies to actually come to them instead of them going to the company. So it's an interesting thing to watch.
I'm curious to see if the really, you know, it's funny because my pie in the sky hope would be that they would just make a anime subscription, like just make a Netflix anime and just have you subscribe just for the anime. And hopefully the price of it would come down. But we all know that would just be them leaving money on the table. But that's me saying that. But technically, they've been leaving money on the table for the last 5 or so years, because as I've joked about before, you technically had this whole case where they would go, okay, Violet Evergarden's coming out, and everybody's like, cool, can we watch it per episode? Now we're going to full dump it after the season ends. Enjoy it. And what happens? They full dump it, people subscribe for 1 month, they watch the entire show in a couple days, and they unsubscribe. They got 1 month of subscription. Versus, this is literally, like, I'm excited they're going on a weekly basis, but when you think about it, that technically means I have to have a subscription for 3+ months just to watch one show, because I have to wait each week for it to come out. It's literally money left on the table that they've been sitting there for the longest time. I don't know, maybe you can just say, well, that's just Netflix being nice to everybody. No, they don't care. They want your money. And they've just been leaving on the table for this long. So I'm curious to see how... I'm curious to see people if they will support this. I'm not going to go out there and say people get a subscription and watch weekly on these shows just to support the idea of them doing weekly releases. Because, like I said, I know that the subscription cost is really high. I mean, it's almost 3 times or 4 times as much as some of the other subscriptions. I know High Dive is like $5. Compare that to Netflix's, what, $15, I think, to have High Def? I think you can get like standard def for like $10, but... which I think is technically okay. I mean, we're most everything anime isn't pushing the bounds of crispness and high definition quality, so you can probably get away with watching the shows with standard definition. I think there's like a very rare few, like, you know, Your Name, the recent Gundam movies that are really pushing the bounds of quality, but I think you can get away with standard definition. But either way, I'm curious if what this will be in the future. It is exciting. I think it is definitely a... I don't know if I'd say a power move, but it is definitely them putting down their gavel and saying, hey guys, we're here, don't worry. Which I think is a refreshing thing for a lot of fans right now, is obviously the big gloom that's happening right now is the fact that Sony has bought Crunchyroll. And we were talking for the longest time about, man, we need competition in the game. We seriously need competition in the game. And we were obviously hedging our bets at High Dive. As much as we believe that they are going to struggle for a while, they were the people that we were looking at and saying, hey, please, High Dive, don't fail on us now because we need competition. And we weren't even looking at Netflix because Netflix was stuck on a monthly, a full dump. Plus, Netflix wasn't really licensing random titles. They were just... essentially, there was a title here and there they would license, but for the most part, they were just, these were shows that they were producing and being a part of, and so they can get that exclusivity from them. Whereas this is them, I don't believe that Komi-san can't communicate, or Blue Period might be, but I don't think they're technically on any kind of production committee for them. So this is interesting for them. I mean, technically, like, Komi-san, I think, is similar to something like Teasing Master Takagi-san, which is one that they actually technically picked up, where it's kind of out of their norm. Mostly, like, it's being a comedy school title versus, you know, high-action, violent show, historical mecha, that kind of stuff. So it's a little more interesting when they pick up something like this versus the typical stuff you'd see on Netflix, I guess. Yeah, I don't see them on the production for it, so it's very interesting. Very interesting move for them. If you ask, because I think when we were talking about titles they were picking up when they first said they were going to do Blue Period, I was like, well, it's hard to really recommend to people to pick up a subscription just for Blue Period. But so I'm like, I'm hoping they'll pick up something else to, I guess, warrant that support that people can give for the weekly releases. If you ask me what show they're going to pick up as well, the last one I would pick is Komi-san. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Komi-san. It's just I don't, like I said, besides Teasing Master Takagi-san, I don't really see Komi-san being like a come to Netflix for Komi can't communicate. It's just the last thing I would see. Like Blue Period, artsy fartsy, you could say. You know, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Yes, it's on there. Stone, was it called Stone Ocean? But Komi-san, no, I don't see that. That would be the last one I would pick. All right, I was hoping that would have more discussion, but I guess that's the news. Cool stuff. We talked about that. And the last bit we have is MAPPA is to animate Dance Dance Danseur TV anime. I thought that they announced this already, but apparently it's now finally being announced. I don't know. Maybe I just assumed based on the art style that it was announced that MAPPA was doing it. But yeah, MAPPA will be doing Dance 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 U, which I believe is next year. Yes, 2022 is what they have listed. No season yet.
Is there any kind of a PV?
No. Just a key art. Mm-hmm. And he looks fabulous.
Yes, he does.
He looks very fabulous. For those that remember, it's about Junpei, who's fascinated with ballet as a child, but his second year middle school, his father passed away, and he decided he needed to become a more masculine, and he gave up on his aspirations.
He's failing miserably.
Yeah, he's failing at being masculine. While still having attachment to ballet, he takes up the martial arts of Jeet Kune Do and becomes popular in his class. Then, one day, a new transfer student named Miyako arrives in Junpei's class, and her mother runs a ballet studio. Miyako realizes that Junpei's interest in ballet and invites him to do ballet together. Kind of feels similar to Welcome to Ballroom.
Yeah, that's what I was getting.
I think I looked up to see if it was the same writer, and I don't think it was back then, so.
It's probably the character artist.
That could be it. I think that was probably it.
Because I'm pretty sure that was a MAPPA show, so.
Yeah, I think so. I think so? Where's the sequel to that? Man, that show needs a sequel bad. Tomi Hasegawa. I don't remember the Japanese title, but I don't see it, so maybe not. So there you go. Interesting stuff. That's it. That's the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you, because it's important to us, that's important to you. So let's dive into our community. As usual, if you want to ask a question on our podcast, we definitely do welcome anybody to write in to us. You can either do it by going to otakuspirit.com. At the top, there's a contact us button. You can submit the form there. You can email andrew@otakuspirit.com, or you can go to the forums at otakuspirit.com at the top there. Click on it, sign up, and go to the Anime Cast question thread under the Anime Cast discussion and leave your question there, as well as talk to some great people over there. So, similar to Shoten Bakas, who apparently has always been otaku 12034 and just didn't want to tell us. I'm joking. Anyways, says, hey guys, hope you're having a good day. This is otaku 12034. See what I did there?
You're gonna get
from before, but now in official form. My question for this episode is: what is your prediction of the next 10 years of anime? Since Crunchyroll buyout passed the day I'm typing this, man, this question was submitted a while ago. Will it be filled with censorship? And our High School DxD season 5 will be 90% light beams. I think either way, it's still gonna be light beams. Because you have to buy the Blu-ray to get that. Without that, I mean. Or will it be not as bad? What about the chances of Crunchyroll and Funimation combining into one? Look forward to the answer. And my obligatory plug, subscribe to Shoten Bakas on YouTube. So there you go. 10 years is a lot to happen in 10 years. I guess to blanket it, my hope that eventually... because technology always evolves, and I think what the interesting thing that comes with technology, at least anymore, is not an idea of things getting faster and more powerful. It's more of a things of becoming easier and more accessible. And I think one thing that I'm really curious about is eventually they're becoming an easier way of streaming and providing streams. What I mean by that is I think there's a lot of talk about things going through blockchains and stuff like that, providing streams through that kind of ability. But with bandwidth hopefully getting better and the ability to stream stuff getting better, there is a hope for me down the road. And I think there was some discussions around this when we were talking with blockchain or Blockpunk and about blockchain. I'm not really huge into blockchain. I appreciate what it is and the technology behind it, but I'm not like a nerd in it. Like, oh my gosh, I gotta know the latest. But even then, during that time that we were talking a lot with some individuals involved with that stuff, the idea was coming at this concept because they themselves were essentially working with anime studios and trying to provide things through blockchain. And the thing that I personally was kind of excited about and knowing more about this concept was the ability for basically, let's say, a studio, especially a studio that's not huge, a smaller studio, not an Ufotable, not a Kyoto Animation, a small studio that would be able to come out and say, hey, we have this new anime that we're putting together, and we hope that you all enjoy it. You don't have to go, okay, well, what platform is it going to get on over the West, or is Funimation going to grab it, and they're going to put it in the theaters first, and then we have to go with the theaters to watch it, or wait a year before we can get it on Blu-ray. It would literally be, go to their website, or they put a link up on Twitter, you go to the website, and you literally pay some sort of value that's, you know, maybe it's an overall currency, or maybe it's a translated currency or something, or exchange currency, but you literally stream it directly from them. Bam, you just have it in front of you. You paid, it goes straight to that studio, bam, you get it in front of your face. And I think that's the, I don't know that I can say for certainty that that would be the future, is this idea of being able to, that technology would evolve so much that you can essentially get your stuff directly from them. But it is kind of an exciting concept that I think as technology gets better, and they, like for us, I mean, I technically use YouTube and I throw my videos up on there so that people can stream it. I could not imagine putting a server in our house and putting the my videos on there and then having people have to access through our terrible ISP to access that stuff. And then I'll have to have issues with possibly how do I monetize it? How do I, you know, avoid hacking, all this kind of stuff, security, all that stuff comes into play. But as technology gets easier, a lot of that stuff becomes more available to the masses and not just big companies that have a lot of money to throw into servers and to security. So that is kind of the thing that I would hope. The problem that comes with that is obviously discoverability. They would still have issues with discoverability. It would probably be more to their benefit if they were to put their stuff on Netflix, because Netflix has a central location that they would obviously want to utilize to have discoverability. So there's still questions there that would be a future, but it is an exciting idea, especially for smaller studios that may want to get more out of their product that they produce themselves rather than maybe getting low bid from a big company like Netflix or Sony and be able to, you know, pocket all the benefits themselves.
There's a fascinating thing to look at. Basically, especially in our fandom, watching the anime sphere as a whole. One of the things that we're watching and we're learning is we're learning how these free markets interact with one another. An interesting thing about this is what I'm, and this goes into your question of what do I see in the future? What we have to be watching for is some kind of a disruptor, because the status quo right now is going to literally destroy this our fandom in a lot of ways. You have Sony, who we've made no bones about that they've already done it. They are more than happy to do it again, and now they've bought up their quote-unquote biggest competition, who was, like I said before, while they're not doing it as bad as Sony, they had no bones with doing it themselves. We've seen it. It's there. So them taking that, and now they're technically the only people who are quote-unquote big enough to compete with them, them showing up, I don't trust them any more than I trust Sony. It is what it is. So as it stands right now, without a big, massive disruption in our marketplace, I don't see anything changing, and our fandom is going to literally go the way of most of these other fandoms that you've already seen. I don't really want to toss out names, but you're watching it across the pop culture in general. All fandoms are dealing with similar problems. There is a literal culture war going on, and we can't ignore it. It's in our fandom as well. And so as it stands right now, who has the keys to the kingdom? We can fight against it all we want, and that's the biggest problem. Until they figure it out, we're going to literally go the same way all of these other fandoms are going. So that's my answer to your question. Without a big disruptor, our fandom is going to get run into the dirt.
No, I think that there is, I was thinking way in 10 years in the future, so I wasn't really thinking like current times, but you technically do ask specifically about the whole thing with Crunchyrolls. I do agree that we technically need something in the game. My hope has gone a little up based on the idea that HIDIVE's already showing that it's grabbing a lot of titles beforehand. Obviously, Netflix, you know, picking up two very surprising titles outside of their norms and doing regular releases does show me that, I guess the best way I can put it is that as the fall was being announced, which technically most companies long before this buyout was probably already planning on what titles they were picking up for fall. But having this aspect that things happen the way they did with Crunchyroll being bought by Sony, already at this point, I was kind of wanting to wait until probably early 2022 to really give my idea of how things are shaping up, just because, I think you'll see over time things are going to start shifting. But to have those shifts already technically happening in the fall 2021 season does give me hope. To see that Netflix is already essentially making a move to buying titles to stream on a weekly basis, to see HIDIVE already buying out further, does give me a little bit of hope that these, at least Sony, or at least HIDIVE and Netflix are kind of going in and saying, okay, well, things are shifting a little bit. I guess I'll start getting involved. I guess I'll start getting some of these titles. And it might be, again, we were kind of speculating on the idea that one of the things that could help HIDIVE and another competitor from this buyout is that possibility of Sony getting so full of themselves because they have the two biggest anime streaming services under their branch, under their umbrella. Having those would make them want to low bid. And then these other companies can come sneak in and grab stuff. So it might have happened. We may just not know quite yet. But like I said, I don't think that's going to be really coming to effect yet until we see that, you know, at least about a year has kind of passed, because a lot of these shows are kind of snatched up pretty early. So
it is really odd thing. I wish for the best. When I say disruptor, it's really a hard thing to describe. Like Andrew was saying, all these companies all having these kind of control over everything, and like Andrew was saying, low bidding or high bidding or undercutting each other. That is a lot of the problem. You can't blame them. You really can't. I mean, when it comes down to it, if Netflix wants to make money, they have to low bid to get the product at a low cost. That's, and then they want to sell it as high as possible to make the maximum amount of money, i.e. what we were talking about earlier with leaving money on the table. You don't want to leave money on the table, and at the same time, theoretically, you don't want to harm your customer in the process. It's a balancing act that is massively complicated. Now, the interesting thing, and I'm not saying that you can't understand it, I'm saying it's complicated and it takes a long time to explain all this garbage. The problem is once you get to that certain point, you end up in this status quo issue where you keep trying to do the same thing so that you don't want to upend the table in the process of trying to change things. So then what these companies end up doing is then they become these just a mess of things that are constantly trying to keep the customers happy enough to keep the money flowing. And at the same time, if they're going to progress and change things, they have to do it subtly that it doesn't, like I said, overturn the egg cart and ruin the entire thing. So we're sitting here where that's why I say we need a disruptor, something in there that breaks the entire system and forces the apple cart to flip over. We have to have that situation. And no, I do not believe Netflix is a solution. Why? Because they're the same problem that Sony has. They're too big. If they change anything, they undercut themselves. They're basically shooting their own leg off, and they can't move forward. That's why, if you remember, I don't know how many people have been around long enough to remember, Netflix originally was a, they were the ones who took out Blockbuster. How? They offered a mail-in service for your rentals. Instead of going to the store across town to rent a movie, you could just do it online, or
you got to break it down more than that, Chris. They used to have these places called Blockbusters, and you would walk in the front door and you'd rent a cartridge thing that was called a VHS. Sometimes a little bit later, these DVD things or these discs, and you would take these home and you would actually insert them into a DVD player or a VHS, and it would play the video that you rented. You actually had to go there, grab it, take it here, watch it, and then you would have to rewind it if it was a VHS, and then you would take it back to the place.
I remember the signs that said, "Please be kind."
No, it just says, "Be kind, please rewind." It was, "Be kind, please rewind."
Was it that way?
Yes. It was not, "Please be kind, please rewind." It was just, "Be kind, please rewind."
Okay. They would charge
you if you didn't do it.
But at any rate,
I just didn't want people to believe that you were renting it and then you went home and you were able to stream it. This is we're going back
so
to the day.
What did Netflix did? They offered a way to, you just went through, you had a huge massive catalog, you picked the movies you wanted to watch, they'd send it to you usually overnight or 2 days at most. You could watch it and then send it back, and they'd send you the next one on your queue. It was a brilliant system. Now, here's the funny thing. If you do remember that, you can remember the fact that they slowly phased it out. They didn't take it away right out. I'd be curious to see if in some countries they still technically have it.
No doubt.
It's a fascinating thing of how they literally destroyed one of the biggest, a couple of really big. Blockbusters wasn't the only one at the time. Right. It was just Blockbuster. Yeah, Blockbuster was pretty much the king at the time.
It was the most national.
And they,
a lot of Hollywood Video and stuff were more locals.
And they literally destroyed this company. Why? Because they just slowly they took over the market with ease of service. That's really what it comes down to. This is why I was talking about a long time ago when we were talking about Funimation was doing. When I talk about customer experience and I'm talking about service, I'm talking about these things. They gave a better product. Why? It wasn't necessarily the DVDs. The DVDs were the exact same as Blockbuster had. What was the difference? The difference is the ease of access. Why is Amazon destroying everything? Because they have ease of access. Why is Walmart so king? Because they have ease of access. Everything that you want is there in one place. That is the problem. Now, yes, technically Funimation has it, but they're not delivering the product that they're quote unquote offering. They're changing the product. This is why I've always been and always complain about the fact that I don't care if you liked their dubs. That's fine. There's a massive contingent that does not like the dubs, and they're not listening to the customer.
You don't like no cap.
No cap.
No cap.
I did end up finding out where that came from. I'll have to tell you that later.
Yeah, exactly about it.
It's such a weird thing, and when I say disruptor, I'm talking about somebody who comes in and makes a big splash. They don't necessarily have to fix everything. They have to change the market.
I think offering an alternative that's pleasing is enough to be a disruptor at this point. Like, mm-hmm. if we do see a lot of gatekeeping or censorship, having somebody like High Dive come around the corner and say, literally in their advertising, don't worry. Because, I mean, High Dive did that for a while. Come here. We got your TNA. We're not shy about it. And I think that technically is something that put High Dive itself on the map, is this idea that, hey, stuff ain't censored here. Come on over. And everybody's like, wait, so you can do that? And then, you know, Funimation, everyone's like, don't look at me. Don't look at me. I think is enough. And now, like I said, I don't think a lot of those changes are going to come quickly for, like I've mentioned before, that idea of Sony really kind of censoring things. I will say that next season is going to be a big sign. I'm really curious what's going to happen with World in Harem. I think based on what you see in World in Harem is going to be a huge sign as to the future of, I guess, really raunchy stuff. Anything with, you know, adult content, how they handle that is going to be a huge sign. Like I said before, based on the fact their PV literally showed nothing, not just not showed, you know, nudity or anything like that, just it showed nothing. Literally, it was a short trailer. Compared to the trailers that Japan was releasing, it was a short trailer.
And how High Dive handled Goddess Dorm gives me a bit of hope.
To be honest, there's not technically a lot of shows every season that are basically adult. Like, they show things. If anything, there's a bit of violent shows. But so I don't necessarily see, like, the disappearance of that stuff. But more of an idea of it's going to have its out through High Dive in the end. But it's going to be, the question mark is going to be really popular titles. Prime example right now, things like Demon Slayer. What was the big discussion that came around Demon Slayer the next season? It's obviously a part of the Entertainment District arc. There's obviously going to be some adult subjects and themes regarding that. And the question mark that was even in Japan was, what time slot will this be in? How much of this content are they going to cut? They want to do as much of the content as possible and not censor things, so they're going to show it in a time bracket that would allow more adult themes. So how would something like that be affected when it comes to the West? Obviously, Funimation has it, or Crunchyroll and Funimation both have it, obviously, they're Sony. Is there going to be things change when it comes here? There's another question mark. How are they going to handle that? And I think with a big name title, not just, you know, Goddess Dorm, which, you know, probably didn't see much viewership at all, unfortunately, because of what it is. It's a harem ecchi show. Not many people are going to watch it. But something big like Demon Slayer, if there's any changes that comes to the West, be sure we're going to talk about it. Yeah. Be sure we're going to be talking about it. And they're going to hear from us. And I think a lot of people are going to want to voice their concerns at that point. So not even just World End, which I think is going to be an obvious changes, and probably a lot of the change will be done before it even gets to Crunchyroll, but something like Demon Slayer, if anything happens with that show, I think a lot of people are going to be wanting looking for that kind of stuff. So
it'll be fascinating to see how that because that's in an interesting place. That's in the next few episodes for sure, and we'll see how they're going to, what the new Crunchy Nation is going to do.
Funny roll. You like funny roll. Yeah. Thanks, Shadenbakas for the question. Why is it Bakas? Is there more than just? Is it just you? I don't think I've ever asked that question. Michael chimes in and says, "On with another funny bike." We're tired of talking about this. No, I'm joking. On the issue with Sony buying Crunchyroll, why don't we all just wait and see? I mean, change was going to happen at some point eventually. If there is any issue on how things are being done as a community, the base must tell them to fix it and not just say, oh, it sucks. It's the way you do things and that. The mature content mentioned in a comment on your YouTube channel said that if they deemed it to be mature, why not just label it as such? Well, they kind of do. Though I do agree that there are some things they do go overboard with and they have to fix that, but the contents could be offensive to some, so it's debatable. Yet you have an issue like one in Omaha, where Mother notified everyone that about the Miss Kobayashi Dragon or Miss Kobayashi's manga as inappropriate to be in school, and it led to other issues like what's one can and cannot view or read. Though, if it is a censorship problem, as a community, let them know, and there is a way to make it work. One of the other things, now that Sony has both companies, everyone's mentioning to support other streaming service, yet Netflix, which is likely Sony's only rival, might look at it this way. Well, if they did it so we can... Oh, look, hi. Okay, I get where you're going with that. Basically, Netflix saying, oh, look what Sony did. Well, I guess we can buy some HiDive. I don't think they care about HiDive. Oh, there's another one. Let's take that. Get where I'm going. So, like I said, let's wait and see and not jump the gun and say it's all over. Once they show us the N3 version of whatever they are making and give it another month to perform and it's bad, then we can comment, critic, and suggest. Best regards. So your mentality is just wait till things fall and then complain about it. I'm not criticizing you for thinking that way. I understand where you're going with that.
And that's the thing. If we gave the impression that we're not saying wait and see, yeah, I agree with you to a point. The problem is that we have been waiting and seeing, and we have been seeing over and over and again. The problem is, how many times do we have to get our foot stepped on before we go, okay, look, this is not working.
Let's finally talk about it.
Yeah.
This has been going on for a long time.
Yeah. And that's the thing is we pointed it out, 6 years ago? Everybody was like, oh no, this is a one case scenario. And then something else happened and we pointed it out then. And everybody said, well, no, this is just a one-time thing. How many one-time things before you go, okay, there's a significant train of abuses that we have a problem with, and you can't just keep chopping it up to it's a one-time thing. It's obviously not a one-time thing. And what I was talking about, growing anger is different, because there's a growing frustration that, and we have, I want to make this very, very clear. I agree. I want to hope that these people will change their ways. They're not. They're doubling down, they're tripling down, and they're quadrupling down. It's not the situation of them doing it. The problem is that they are the only people who have the control. You cannot, if you are, take us for example. We have been, and will for a while at least, keep on saying you need to support these companies. But we are in a moral conundrum. I do not agree with the ideals that they are shoving into the content. I do not agree with the changing of the original artist's intent. I do not agree with that. That is why I am in a moral conundrum. I want to support this company, and yet at the same time, I do not agree with the way that they are providing the product. I have a problem with that. Now, do I go ahead and say, forget it, I jump off the train, let's all go pirate? I don't agree with that. So I am forced to have to deal with the gatekeeper. I will admit, they have a fundamental moral obligation to do what they are doing. That's why you will never get through to them. That is my issue. It's not whether I agree with their situation. I've really tried to be accommodating to this, but we're at a point where we have no choice. What are we going to do? That's why I say we need a disruptor.
I think to your point, Michael, is not just a... I know it sounds like he's like yelling at you, but it's more of a frustration to the company itself. And I think to his point, it's not really so much about jumping the gun. It's just more of a, like he said, it's more of a thing of this isn't something that we didn't see coming. It's a thing that we've been seeing and commenting on for a long time, and it just wasn't an issue because there was no central point. It was only a problem now, and that we're speaking so loud on it now, because they no longer have this, well, if Funimation messes up, Crunchyroll will stand up. If Crunchyroll messes up, Funimation will stand up. Competition. Not having that thus means that it's no longer there's no longer this out that we have because we can't shift the market to show them a sign. It's literally just, let's walk away. And that sucks in the end. Additionally, like I said before, I don't think Netflix would ever buy High Dive. I mean, I'd never say never, but Netflix has zero desire to buy High Dive. Why would Netflix buy High Dive? The only reason they would have to buy High Dive is to grab a brand. They can buy their own licenses. If they buy High Dive, it does not mean that they get High Dive's licenses. Like we mentioned before, anything that High Dive has licensed is bought and most likely contracted to stream on Sentai Filmworks / High Dive platforms. So even if Netflix buys High Dive, they don't get their back platform. So the only reason that they'd buy them is just to get rid of them. There's no benefit for them buying them. Netflix has plenty of money to buy their own licenses. The reason why Sony bought Crunchyroll was to get rid of a competitor. It's plain and simple. They seen Crunchyroll as their main competitor. They bought them. Sony doesn't have the money to buy Netflix. Netflix doesn't have the money to buy Sony. So you're seeing this grabbing of the lower properties, but Netflix is so huge, they don't care. So I don't see that being a thing, honestly.
Yeah, when it comes down to it,
it's an interesting concept either way.
Netflix doesn't really buy brands. Netflix just purchases the product more than anything.
And they used to license a lot of brands to put on their platform, but now that everybody's trying to do the streaming things, they're having to pay into their own stuff. So that's why they've moved the direction they've moved to producing their own live action TV shows and stuff, and then also anime. Yeah, technically you could say that now, based on the idea that we're seeing Netflix at least try to shuffle into the norms of the rest of the streaming services and trying to be into this game, that they could see High Dive as a threat at this point. But again, there's no benefit to them buying them besides destroying them. And we don't really see signs of Netflix doing that. They'd rather than spend a bunch of money to buy Netflix just to shut them down, they're not really in a place that a big company can do that. They're profitable, but they still are not insane. So being able to do that just to get rid of them is a very costly move. It's not beneficial in the end, unless they see that there's some sort of marketing data that shows somebody clicked on High Dive instead of Netflix. I just don't see them doing that. They're just two different realms. So interesting idea, but yeah, I do agree with you. I normally don't like the idea of to give you an example, I don't necessarily like to jump on something unless I feel like I have either a reason for wanting to bring it up, like I want to stand on something, or it's something that I see that's proven. So don't get it wrong that the reason that we're talking about it is us jumping the gun. Because, I mean, technically, there was a news article that we could have talked about this episode that I purposely avoided doing because I felt like there wasn't enough proof behind it, and I felt that it was defamatory otherwise. It is something where we obviously see that something is done in the past, and it's still being done, and it will probably be based on an educated guess, based on what we've seen throughout the ages, that this will be the case going forward. It is something that I've dealt with in my... every job that I've had technically has always been that case, is you see a pattern, you deduce based on current formulas what the future formula will be. And it has all those signs, so it makes it worth talking. Plus, this is what we do here. We talk about random stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun thing to talk about. And as you pointed out, as Shutin Bakas has pointed out, as literally five other comments before you has pointed out, people want to hear about it, so... If it bothers you to hear us talk about it, just skip forward. It's fine. I hope that you listen to us talk about it. But I do get that some people feel that it might be too early to really jump on the train. But as I stated, it's what we do, and plus we see signs. So thanks for the question, Michael. Though I think you jump in a lot in our streams, and I appreciate you jumping in there as well. Havoc says, thanks for answering my questions recently. I appreciate your responses and the time it took to answer them. Now for the day's question. As someone who really is really over the fantasy isekai genre, I roll my eyes when I see a new seasonal charts. These days, something has to really grab grab me if it's in this genre. So, will there ever be a steep decline in the future of as drastic as Mecha disappeared? If so, when do you think? And if you don't think the genre will ever disappear, why? Thanks again from your fan, friend, and loyal patron. Thank you so much, Havoc. And we definitely appreciate your patron. We literally have only 5 next season. And we've been going for quite a while with at least, I think, 10 plus isekai shows. So, not to say that this is a sign that things are going downhill for isekai, but it technically shows at least there's a calming. I would probably say that. I'm not gonna say that you won't see a rise in isekais again next year with, like, you know, 10 plus isekais per season, but it does show that at least what's being adapted is kind of chilling out, which I think is a good thing, because I think with most, you never really see a dramatic, like, suddenly out of nowhere next season, there was no Mecha. You've seen a decline, or at least a settling of not having a whole bunch each season. And I think fall is a good sign, not a good sign, it's just a sign for those that are, it's a good sign for those that don't like isekais, that things are settling down, and we're going to get a different mixture of shows going forward. But I don't want to quite say it yet. Maybe once we get in our preview of winter, I'll say if not. Actually, technically, spring would probably be the biggest sign. If by spring of next year you don't see that incline back into, you know, 10 plus isekais a season, it's probably settling out. So I think you should be excited the fact that next season we only have like 5 isekais. I was actually shocked by that. I totally forgot about that when we're doing our preview. I'm like, well, yeah, technically there's only 5 isekais. That's kind of crazy.
it's probably just an ebb, and then we're going to get back up in a season or two. But it'll really depend on how much of a, I mean, we've had an oversaturation recently. It'll be interesting to see if this one is the final crest, and then we're completely going back down. And I hope not. I'm having fun with what we've been given lately. I have not hit my fatigue yet, but it's not impossible that it might happen. But as it stands right now, I'm technically not fatigued of them yet.
It's funny because I'm not technically fatigued. It's not as if I roll my eyes when I see an isekai. I only have the problem where when I'm watching an isekai, I get angry when I realize there's no reason for it to be an isekai. That's the only thing that gets me. Whenever I get to like 4 or 5 episodes in and I realize, oh yeah, that's right, this was an isekai. They haven't talked about the fact that it's isekai since literally the first 10 minutes of the first episode. So why is this even an isekai? Just make it a birth in this world. Like I mentioned with the Paladin show coming next season, that's literally a prime example of how you can do a fantasy show where it doesn't have to be isekai. I mean, granted, there could be a point, like I joked in the preview podcast, there could be a point in which they realize that, oh yeah, by the way, the Paladin kid is an isekai. He just doesn't remember it because he was too young. But it doesn't, it literally allows for all the inserts you need without it having to be opened up with Truck-kun. You're this there. And you have to have the world explained to you because you grew up and you had to discover the world. That's my only problem that I really have with these isekais anymore, is I just don't see why it has to be an isekai. There's no explanations needed. Just be a fantasy show or whatever.
Well, even like Jobless Genius, it's Jobless Reincarnation. I'm going off of the, oh well, I think we discussed that one time. Never mind.
we're not gonna go back to that discussion again.
The
Tensai.
Even that one was kind of funny in the way that they did their thing. It gave him a reason to have his insecurities and then working through those insecurities. Now, the fascinating thought, I almost halfway want to check out the original source material. I think it was a light novel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be fascinating to check that out to see how much otaku commentary he was doing in his head. Because he has made references to certain things involved with otaku culture. Like, he'll talk about the princess girl and how tsundere she is. So I know that he's made references and like his quote unquote treasure. So I know he's made references to otaku culture. I would love to know how much he does that in his head.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. They sound like they were pretty adamant about them adapting the whole thing. So I would assume that they're pretty heavy focus on the idea of it covering everything. Technically, there's a lot of inner dialogue, so it doesn't seem like they're shying away from it at all. So, But no, I do agree. Technically, with the mecha series genre it was kind of shocking how that just disappeared. It wasn't because I could see isekai shows just being around. Like, I don't see it just disappearing, but at the same time, I never thought that mecha would disappear. But I guess I can honestly say the difference between the two of them, the reason that I would assume that mecha disappeared is that it's very difficult to design, build, and animate mecha. And it's not a case of, even when they went to CGI, I don't think even then it was enough that it was cheap enough to animate mecha. Mecha is just a whole different ballgame when it comes to animation. And whereas isekais, it's not like you need a mechanical designer / an animator that can animate mecha and all that kind of stuff. It's just another show, isekai, not to discredit isekais, but it's just a whole different ballgame. So I guess there's a reason why I can see mecha dropping off faster than something like isekai. They're just production-wise a very different scenario. So I don't necessarily see isekai just dropping off. I see it being something that probably at least five shows a season that you'll see popping up. Because again, you remember that there's literally, 40 plus shows a season. It's not as if having five of them being isekai is a big deal. So
I would definitely reword that as more just kind of a dry spell of mecha. Mecha is a mainstay in the quote unquote fandom. It's never going away. Just like isekai, I think that one can be interchangeable with fantasy. Like we've talked about before, over and over again. At this point, it's almost irrelevant to say something is isekai. It's just fantasy that just so happens to have a character from another world. So, and that you're never going to get rid of fantasy. That is a mainstay in all realms as far as entertainment is concerned.
It was called came down to one, maybe two shows a year, a dry spell. I know that mecha's never going to disappear, but
yeah, I wouldn't even call it a dry spell. It's that's the way it is right now. So I mean, disappear implies that it stopped altogether. I don't see it stopped. I mean, we have what, one or two.
You're being too absolute with the word. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, next season we have what, two?
Yeah, but this is the two that we've had in like a year.
Yeah.
What other shows are you talking about?
And that's why I would go with dry spell over. I mean, disappear is
you're being too absolute.
All right,
so you're being too absolute. I think that club shows disappeared. Well, every now and then there's a club show.
That was my point. Is it's a mainstay. It's not going away. It never will.
Nothing will ever go away. That's like harem shows. I don't know where Dorm comes out and it's like, whoa, it's an ecchi harem show. When the hell did that come out? I haven't seen one of those since, I don't know, Love Hina. Jeez. But yeah. Thanks, Havoc, for sending in the question. Definitely interesting thing to think about, honestly. I guess our last one we'll do, Zachary jumps in and says, so I am relatively new anime watcher, about a year and a half now. About a couple months ago, I realized that I'm starting to feel burned out and having trouble watching shows. I also listened to your new anime watchers Redux podcast to help out a while back, and it didn't help me out much. What should I do? Thank you. Thank you for the question. I don't know, Chris. What do you think? I think there is a problem with burnout. I think that's one of the things that I always kind of struggle with whenever we see people, especially within a community, jump out and say, hey, I'm new to anime. what shows should I watch? And then suddenly they get like 50 million replies of everybody giving their top 10 list. And then they go, cool, I have all this great stuff to watch. And then you jump in there and you start. I think we technically talked about that in the new to anime, the introduction to anime kind of concept is it's scary, the idea of throwing all the best of the best at somebody, because then they realize, oh yeah, by the way, not every anime is the most amazing thing ever. They actually look at the current season and they're like, wait, this stuff isn't that great. Why isn't it as great as these other shows everybody told me to watch because of the greatest of all times? I don't know. I guess it's an aspect of pacing. You don't have to jump in and watch every single show. Pacing yourself is probably very important. And if you don't pace yourself, you're pretty much going to do what everybody does in that, you know, magical 3-year marker where they've watched everything and they feel like everything that comes around the corner isn't as great as the greatest they've watched, and they leave the industry, which, I mean, isn't a bad thing. I mean, if you find yourself being bored with anime, don't watch it. It's just a hobby. But I mean, I do like the idea of people giving their all and enjoying what I enjoy, but at the same time, I don't expect them to enjoy everything that I enjoy. Just watch the market. If something catches your attention, watch it. You don't have to complete. So here's the thing. Watch the market. See if something catches your attention and watch it. If something doesn't catch your attention, walk away from it. Don't force yourself to watch through every single thing. Don't be a completionist. Just look for what is enjoyable to you. And if it's not enjoyable to you, just step away from it and move on to the next thing. And if nothing catches your attention, take a break. Come back, see what's out there. That's why we do our previews. That's why we do our reviews, so that people don't have to watch everything. They can just find something that sounds like something they'd be interested in. We're obviously going to be positive about most stuff. That's what we've always done. But don't take that positivity that you have to watch everything that we watched. Just find something that sounds like, wow, that's a cool concept. I'll check that out. Sounds like they liked it. It's a cool concept. Something that would be up my alley. Check it out. You don't have to watch everything. And honestly, don't finish everything if you don't need to.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You definitely take some time. I would be hesitant to say take a break, because one of the biggest problems with taking a break is you never come back from your break.
That you could walk away from anime and pull. Chris, you don't have to keep them in our fandom, Chris.
No,
we're losing somebody. Give him.
Tackle him, tie him down.
Another shock.
shove some noragami down his throat. No, it's. I agree. It is one of you can do whatever you want. I'm not holding you down. I'm saying more along the lines of just
you're not gonna leave.
like I said with Andrew, like Andrew said, take your time. Just watch what interests you. Just keep it more on a more slower pace. So you know, if you toss a dub of one of Naruto here or there or something like that, just to keep it.
You're gonna make him leave forever, Chris.
my point is more along the lines of just get that pacing down. You do not have to watch everything. It's better that you take your time than I want my friends. I like having my friends around. I like being able to chat with people on the forums or on the threads or on the chat in YouTube. I like having my friends, and I consider everybody who has listened and everybody who will listen in the future my friends. While I'm not going to force you guys to watch stuff, I do miss a lot of. It was fun to see Nyanta Sensei come back the other day. It was like, hey man, I really have missed you. And he says that he's been lurking for a long time. I technically lurk all the time, so I'm not mad at that. But yeah, take your time. Just enjoy that's the whole point. It's an entertainment medium. We've talked about this over and over again. It's not something that you have to turn into a job. We're doing this because we want to, and it's a service that we want to provide our fandom.
Service too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't leave. Just take a break. Don't leave though. If you need to take a break, make sure to set 50k calendar reminders for an entire month to remind you to come back. Because that's what happens. You leave for like 2 days and then you just never look back ever again. Wow, my life is so much better without watching anime. What is this thing called life? Ooh, grass. It feels good. Warm sun. No, come back. Anime awaits you. You need to watch Isekai number 5549. Anyways, thanks for the question, Zachary. Help you figure out your groove for anime. So yeah, that's I think that'll be it. We've had plenty of fun discussion. Chris got heated. Hopefully it doesn't scare away anybody. We got two more questions at Occat. I think I have another one in my email, so I guess we can throw out another call out for people to get some more questions coming in. Otherwise we'll run out and then we'll be sad people. But yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this episode, this discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seemed important to us. And great questions from our community members. Thank you again to Shut and Bacas, Michael, Havoc, and Zachary for the great questions. And again, reminder to people, follow us on, or subscribe to us on YouTube. You have to do all the things. Smash the like buttons, hit the notification bells, subscribe, give your firstborn child, all that stuff for the YouTube channel. And follow us there so that you don't miss out on our live streams, as well as my coverage of the seasons as we go along and my episode-by-episode impressions. Yeah, I keep wanting to say Chris will be streaming here, but I know that by the time I get the podcast up, Chris is done streaming. Mm-hmm. So I'll say next week on Tuesday, make sure to tune in for maybe Chris will be streaming. But again, like I said, I think again Wednesday or Thursday evening, I will probably be doing the waifu tier list, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, good stuff. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed. As always, thanks to all of our Patreon supporters. We definitely appreciate everybody that supports us on Patreon, which includes Seismic Wolf, Jason Marsh, Mark Tyler, Adrian DeWalke, Sakumbi, Theodore Mulgren, Sergio R. Lasso, Ferro, Saito, Yari, Ben O'Driscoll, Havoc, Toshi, CM0, John Bear, Jackal Geek, QB, Edward Hernandez, Rodney, Forehand, Kevin Nauta, I hope I'm saying these names right, Hector Amaya Jr., Otaku 12034, Smackatosh.
You really want to bug him today, don't you?
Definitely want to push him off of my Patreon list, apparently. Smackatosh, Jay-Z Meister, as well as Dave B, who recently joined us. Thank you, Dave B. But yeah, thanks everybody again. And we definitely, besides Patreon supporters, definitely appreciate everybody who tells other people about us to help us grow. I think that's equally as important. And as always, we thank you all for listening. Hope you all enjoyed, and you all take care.
Os.